Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Geltzeiler joins us now. SiriusXM NBA Radio, also NBA TV. Brian, you see some of the moves that are being made. Are the Cavaliers falling behind in the Eastern Conference?
Not necessarily. The Eastern Conference is falling behind the Cavaliers because pretty much everything is collapsing around them. You know, you're going to start a season next year with Damian Lillard's not going to be playing for the Milwaukee Bucks. Jason Tatum is not going to be playing for the Boston Celtics. And Tyrese Halliburton is not going to be playing for the Indiana Pacers. So for the Cavaliers, the question that they have to answer as we are in this, I can't even say coming into the offseason because we're in the offseason right now. The question they have to answer is, do we have a roster construction issue? Do we have to mix things up a little bit, trade someone of significance here, i.e. a Darius Garland, a Jared Allen, to be able to maybe get some more size wings on our roster to match up better with other teams? That's the question that you have to answer if you're the Cavaliers. And listen, I would be okay with the fact that the Cavaliers ran all this back for one more shot to see where this can go and what this could be. But I do think there is a little bit of a roster construction issue just regarding how other teams are matching up and playing. And like, you look, listen, the Cavs had a better record than the Knicks this year, but the Knicks made it further. You look at the Knicks with the two big wings in Ananobi and Bridges and Hart as a third wing that plays in a lineup. It's an odd matchup for the Cavaliers with having the two smaller guards and the two bigs. Is that the right roster construction to be able to compete in today's NBA is the big question. And the other thing is, if you do deem that it is, who has to develop different skill sets associated with what they do to be able to play the way you need to play? And what I mean by that is Evan Mobley needs to become more of a perimeter player. You know, can you still have that? Who's your premier stopper defensively? And maybe that's going to have to be DeAndre Hunter. So there's a lot of questions that have to be answered if you're going to keep the roster as is. But I listen, it was a rough exit in five games to Indiana in a second round. I also don't think you can turn your nose up on 64 wins and having a coach that was really, really in tune with his team until they met that Indiana buzzsaw in the second round.
If they do make changes, who do you think should be on their way out? Because we know they're not trading Evan Mobley. We know they're not trading Donovan Mitchell. Everything else, I think, is fair to question. But if they do want to make changes to that roster construction, if you were Kobe Altman and you wanted to do that, what direction would you go?
Well, it's obviously one of two guys. Listen, Garland's going to have the most value on the open market. The problem with trading Darius Garland is, do you want Donovan Mitchell to play point guard? And I don't think I do. I like Donovan Mitchell exactly where he is, and I don't know that I want to disturb that backcourt. I think that backcourt was one of the best things that the Cavs had going this year. And Garland's a dynamic shot maker. I mean, there was this whole thought process where when Garland missed a few playoff games, oh, they're better without Garland. They're not better without Darius Garland. He is an all-star playmaker. So that's not the guy I would jump to move. To me, it's Jared Allen and try to see if I can bring in a size wing to pair with Hunter, and I would convert Mobley into essentially a stretch five. And if I were going to make one major change, that would be it. And yes, a guy like Cam Johnson of the Nets would be an interesting guy to potentially go get if he's available. And I'm not sure how available he is, but that's the kind of wing that you're looking at. One other guy that can stretch the floor, shoot 40% from three and guard the perimeter, that's got some size to him, 6'7", 6'8". That's what the Cavs really sorely lack outside of Hunter. The other teams that are competitive in the conference have multiple guys like that. And you need to have multiple guys like that. The Cavs do not. I mean, they leaned a lot into the Sam Merrills and the Dean Wades and the Ty Jeromes, and that had great results in the regular season. But you saw come playoff time, none of those guys are guarding people well enough. I mean, maybe Wade can hang in there a little bit. Jerome certainly can. Merrill certainly can. So you need a couple two-way wings. And if you're going to go in the direction of trading for a two-way wing, Jared Allen would be the guy I would probably lead on the way out.
You mentioned the other teams in the East that view themselves as competitive have those wing players, and you're not wrong about that. But I am curious from this perspective right now, and I understand that there's a long way to go before we watch teams actually play basketball that matters again. But right now, how many teams do you think can look in the mirror and say, we can realistically win the Eastern Conference next spring?
Well, so I think the Cavs are at the top of that list. I think the Knicks are right there at the top of that list. The Cavs, now we don't know who's going to coach the Knicks. I would seriously doubt that the Knicks make any significant personnel moves regarding their starting five. So I think you'll see a similar team back there. I think you have to say the Orlando Magic have at least put themselves in the conversation. I don't know that I would. And I like Desmond Bane, and he's a great fit there because they need shooting, and that guy shoots the ball well and is also a decent enough defender. The only issue there is, are they good enough to really be the best team in the East with this current roster construction? They get 4 first-round picks for him and don't really have a lot of other cards to play. That's my complaint there, but I do think you have to put Orlando in the conversation. Call me crazy, but I'm not totally dismissing Indiana in the absence of Halliburton. I think that's a really deep roster, and I think guys are going to kind of adjust to not having him, and I think they're going to be pretty damn good again next year. And then the other team that I would kind of give a puncher's chance, Atlanta's going for it. Atlanta is trying to seize the opportunity. That's why they made this Porzingis deal. And listen, it's always a challenge, Kristaps Porzingis, but 1 year of Porzingis for Atlanta is well worth the risk that you can keep him on the floor and have him where you need him come playoff time, because that's a really interesting fit on that team. That's a good young team with a lot of the right kind of pieces. We talk about the long wings. They're loaded with those in Atlanta. So that's kind of the group that we're looking at, I think, in Eastern Conference. Obviously, Boston's not in that conversation till we know if Joel Embiid can step on the floor for Philly. I can't even look at them. And listen, Milwaukee, I wouldn't trade Giannis either if I were Milwaukee, but I got to see what they do in this offseason where they have literally no assets to trade off of outside of Giannis. And I got to see what they're able to do free agent wise on the margins. But that's kind of the group that I just gave you, those five teams: Cleveland, New York, Orlando, Indiana, and Atlanta as kind of on the fringe.
Do you believe the Cavs will ever be ready to compete for a championship as is?
Yes. I think they're ready to compete for a championship right now as is. The Cavs are, because the Knicks can't get out of their own way, and I'm not going to go off on a tangent on this, but the firing of Tom Thibodeau was one of the most idiotic coaching firings I've seen in all the years I've been covering the league. Ridiculous. But because of that, the Cavs are the biggest beneficiary to these three Achilles injuries. Okay, of Lillard, Halliburton, and Tatum. The Cavs, as is, can absolutely go to an NBA final. They're certainly have enough talent. They're certainly good enough. What I will say about the Cavs is, and I'm quite sure Kenny Atkinson is going to take care of this in the offseason, there needs to be a little bit more of a mental and physical toughness about this group. And whether it's injecting a player that brings that or just kind of having things be a little tougher for some of these guys. What I've kind of heard out of the Cavs organization is that, listen, guys with injuries didn't necessarily play during the season, so you didn't know how to play through injuries. And Garland tried in the offseason, as we saw with the surgery. He was really, really hurt. But the point being about the Cavs is that the injury stuff for them is there needs to be a tougher mentality up and down that roster in terms of how they're going to approach things. And listen, the NBA world's acutely aware of it, but if the NBA world's acutely aware of it, so's Kenny Atkinson. And Kenny Atkinson is an excellent head coach who understands how to fix things. He's been around the league a long time. He's seen a lot. He knows how to roll his sleeves up and kind of toughen guys up a little bit. So, yeah, I think the Cavs, as currently constructed, can absolutely win an NBA championship.
Well, then it makes me feel. Brian Geltzeiler joining us here on the show, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Makes me feel then that their best idea is just standing pat and seeing how this all works again this coming year.
Depends who's put in front of you and made available. Listen, right now, there's trade talk everywhere. And I'll throw this name out to you because I do think that, and I heard rumblings of this last week, when Memphis made the Bain deal, I had heard this was potentially on their radar, and that's that Jaylen Brown may be available. And that Memphis, one of the reasons they went and got four first-round picks for Bain is because they could flip those over to Boston in a larger package to be able to bring Jaylen Brown there. So here's the thing I'll say about the Cavs. If a Jaylen Brownish player is not available, well, sure, you're fine to run it back as is. However, if that player is available, that's maybe a guy you would move Garland for. You know, you've got to make that phone call. You have to figure out what that's going to cost you, and do you have enough to be able to go get him? Now, would I trade Evan Mobley for him? I absolutely would not. But that's a spot where I would look if I had to put, you know, Garland and Allen in a deal, and whatever picks I still have available that I could deal, would I look at that? I have to look at that. Now, again, I don't think if Jaylen Brown is available, I don't think the Cavs will have enough to go get him. But and I do think he is available right now for the right package. My point being is that, yes, if you don't want to try to force something that's not there if you're the Cavs, but I don't think you get yourself so locked into this roster that you don't keep your eyes open on who can be available. I mean, listen, I saw a report, and I didn't hear this through intel, but I did see a report that the Cavs were involved with Durant to the end, that they threw their hat in the ring there to see what they could do. So I think Kobe Altman has the right idea, which is we're fine to bring this roster back if that's what the market gives us. But if there's something available for us to be able to improve and change this roster construction to one that matches up better with some of the tougher teams in the league, well, I think you got to look at that too.
Do you think that the Cavs as a playoff team have earned respect across the NBA?
No, but I don't think it matters. Like, and I don't mean to give a trite answer to that question. I just, listen, the Cavs have, last 3 years, second round exit. So two straight second round exits, 3 years in a row, not making a conference final. Are they respected all that much for that? Probably not, because you don't really get respected as a playoff contender till you make one of the conference championships, right? You got to get to a conference final. They are not able to do that. But by the same token, whether they're respected or not, your players still have to roll up their sleeves, go do the work, go win the games, and go get there, regardless of what other teams think of you when it comes to that. So do I think they're totally respected? Probably not, but I don't think it matters, and I don't think it changes the mission.
When you hear about some of this trade talk out there, like you got Josh Kroenke talking about Nikola Jokic in a press conference talking about the second apron, had the Luka Doncic trade had any effect on how some of these guys think? Like, the reaction was pretty bad, but they were still able to get Cooper Flagg out of the deal, so it wasn't that bad. Or is it just like, hey, this second apron is really that restrictive where they have to think about trading guys that you would consider untradeable, untouchable?
So what the second apron did was this. Listen, rich owners are rich owners, right? Mm-hmm. Guys want to turn around and write a $400 million luxury tax bill. Have at it. The other owners that don't go into the tax love it because the money goes in their pocket. So from that standpoint, you know, the second apron isn't all that big a deal. The problem with the second apron and why it is functioning as a hard cap right now is because of how restrictive improving your roster is when you're there. You can't aggregate more than one player in a deal. You can't take a penny more in salary back. Okay. You, if you're in this, you can't sign a buyout guy. And if you're in the second apron that long, what's going to start to happen is in the early 2030s, your draft pick's going to automatically go to the back of the line. Like, it kills you. It kills your ability to be able to add to your roster. There's just nothing you can really do. So that's why teams are saying we got to stay out of the second apron because we don't have any flexibility. Listen, what the Clippers did last offseason, letting Paul George go for nothing, people are like, what the hell? Yeah, how can you let an asset like that go for nothing when you traded all that stuff for him? Well, what do? They used the money to go out and sign three different free agents, and then they put themselves in the mix where they could trade a couple of players together to go add somebody at the deadline. They added Bogdanovich. Now, again, it didn't work for them. They lost a 7-game series in the first round. But there, it was a model of how you handle some of this second apron stuff as opposed to paying multiple guys in excess of $50 million a year. Like, you just, it's the thing about the league and the second apron era and what they did here, this was designed to achieve competitive balance. They have achieved competitive balance. It's also fair to ask the question, and they'll tell you publicly that they loved two small markets in the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City and Indiana. But when the ratings come in, did the TV partners love it? Now, again, the TV partners, they're locked in right now. You have them, tied to what the contracts are. So in terms of what this system is going to be, this is what we're looking at till 2029, 2030. That's what the system is going to be. But at some point, I can tell you this, for the next system, I don't know if the second apron is, we're going to see as punitive a second apron. And I would think the TV partners at some point with what ESPN / Disney, okay, what Amazon and what NBC are paying for these broadcast rights, they're going to have some input into how this system goes for the next CBA, because they may want to have where there is a little bit of a large market bias. And don't get me wrong, it's still going to be a cap sport. It's not going to be uncapped like baseball. But I think you're going to have it where when you have owners that kind of want to spend into the tax, and the larger markets can, have a little bit of an advantage. I actually think from a business standpoint and the privacy on these board of governors meetings, I think that the league and the broadcast partners would like that.
Does anybody other than certain owners like the apron system?
No, listen, yeah, I think there's, listen, I don't think OKC minds it. They haven't minded it up to now.
They might mind it in the future, though, if they have to break up that core.
Absolutely. I think the majority of owners like the apron system. I think the owners that don't like the apron system are the richer, wealthier, higher revenue owners. Jim Dolan and the Knicks didn't vote for it. I can imagine this new Laker group's probably not all that happy with it. I don't know if Steve Ballmer all of a sudden can't outspend everybody with the Clippers, and so I think he would not prefer it. But again, everybody's functioning within it. The system is the system. So this is something that was pushed very, very hard by the majority of owners from a competitive balance standpoint. There was too many teams that felt as though they would go into a season with zero chance to be successful, and they wanted it to be a situation where it doesn't matter what your market size is, you still have a chance to be successful. Now, I will say this, in the second apron system, I think market size still does matter in certain spots. I think New Orleans is not a good basketball market. They're going to always struggle there because revenue-wise, they're just not up to snuff with other teams. And to me, at some point, I don't know that NBA basketball should be in New Orleans. So second apron or not. But for a team like Indiana, the second apron was somewhat of an equalizer. For a team like this OKC group, it was somewhat of an equalizer. Now, you just said, and you're absolutely right, coming up very shortly, Oklahoma City is going to have some tough decisions to make, and they're not going to love the second apron so much. But they've also built a model with all those first-round picks where you're going to watch some of these mid-range contracts that they signed, like Lou Dort and Alex Caruso. Those guys are going to be moved at some point for expiring contracts and more first-round picks, and Sam Presti's just going to continue to take bites at the apple to try to build cost-controlled rookie-scale role players to go around the three major stars he's going to pay SGA, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren.
Brian, we thank you very much for the time. You're always wonderful. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
My pleasure, guys. You take care. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA TV on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.